This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
The following program is produced in a timeshare agreement with Civic Media. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect those of Civic Media. Enjoy.
Serving Wausaunians.
The Wausau Business Show.
Your journey through the soul of the city starts now.
With Cheeseheads Ryan and Paul.
The Wausau Business Show.
Bam, bam, I'm feeling all right. Troubles take a bite in the blink of an eye. No need a psychoanalyzer, never skip a drink. All she's got to do is just to give me that wing.
Wausau Business Show.
All right.
Or as they say down in Florida, Farty.
Do they say that? Is that a fact?
I guess.
Okay.
For all you snowbirds listening, thank you. The villages, what's up? I'm Ryan.
And I'm Paul.
And this is the Wausau Business Show. Episode number Farty. It's a little special edition of the Wausau Business Show this week because we're doing a Nashville to Wausau theme.
Oh, I love that.
There's a lot of connections between Wausau, Wisconsin, USA, and Nashville, Tennessee.
Who knew?
And we've got the guys from Big Timber Entertainment, which is a record label that's based in Nashville.
Yeah, and that Mark Oliverius is based in Nashville, and then Troy, the connection to Wausau is Troy Brown's in Wausau.
Troy's in Wausau, and he owns a timber company in Antigo. We'll hear about that coming up, but they started a record label, and they've got a couple of great artists up and coming, and we're going to talk about the connection to Wausau, Wisconsin, and then after that, we've got Brett Westgrove coming in.
Ooh.
They're coming in at two separate times.
Right.
Because we didn't want them to overlap. We want to negotiate a potential deal here.
Right.
An introduction.
That's right.
We don't want any money. We just want it to benefit Wausaunians.
We'll see where it goes.
Brett Westgrove is the artist. He's up and coming. He's from Wausau, graduated from Wausau West. He lives in Nashville now. He's a rocket scientist. We'll talk to him about that.
Yeah, we'll confirm if that's actually true.
Kind of a heartthrob, if I do say so myself.
And you do.
And so we'll have Brett come in, and we'll talk to him and see then if he's interested in potentially meeting the guys from Big Timber Entertainment and going on their label, potentially, you know. I don't know. Brett's a pretty big up-and-comer. Like, he's toured with a lot of famous people already. He's accomplished in his career. He's lived in Nashville for a while. I don't know if he's with a label at all. I don't know if he's on his own. I don't know what his status is, but I know he's a Wausaunian guy.
Yeah.
He lives in Nashville. He's toured with a bunch of famous acts, and he's got a new Sweet Tea coming out, a hard spike Sweet Tea.
So I'm excited to hear kind of both sides of the Nashville music industry. We got the record label side,
right,
from that angle, and then we get to hear the perspective of an up-and-coming country musician and performer.
And we're going to wiggle in some Taylor Swift facts in there, too.
Ooh, I like that.
But before we do any of that, Paul, and get into all that, we've got an important...
Looks like you got a memo.
Yeah, it's a memo.
Uh-oh, who's it from?
Well, it's from our boss.
Oh, no. What do we do?
Well, I don't know, but he wants us to... It's not our boss, but it's one of the bigwigs at Civic Media.
He said,
please give me a call. There's something I need to talk to you guys about. His name is John Scott.
Okay, let's call Mr.
Civic
Scott.
Civic Media Bigwig.
I'm nervous.
Civic Media. Somebody from Civic Media who owns this radio station and the platform that we're on here.
Okay.
So we better give him a call and just see. I hope we're not in trouble. God. This could be the end of the Wausau Business Show, everybody.
It feels a little like we're being called to the principal's office.
This could be
it. Oh, boy.
Here we go.
Let's rip off the Band-Aid.
I'm pleased to report that you are in no trouble.
Oh, good.
Good.
You haven't gotten any reports from the FCC or anything like that?
No. In fact, quite to the contrary. As it turns out, you are popular.
Oh.
In the last 30 days, we have registered over 4,000 listens to the Wausau Business Show podcast.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well,
that sounds like
that.
A lot.
Good for Wausau. Great for Wausau.
Yeah.
Makes it the grand champion of all of our podcasts, and we have a few. So congratulations, guys. That's good work.
Wow. And you guys have 18 different radio stations, huh? All over the state of Wisconsin?
21
now.
Different cities, yes.
Wow, very cool. Well, we are thrilled to be on the Civic Media Network.
Yeah.
And part of the family. Does this mean we get to come to the Christmas party that you have coming up?
Yes, I believe I delivered an email invite to somebody this week. You can come have a drink with us.
What an honor.
Success.
Okay. All right. Thanks for providing the good news, John. We'll talk to you soon.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, that's great news for Wausau. Great news.
Pleasant surprise.
And Chad informed us that we've also been downloaded over 10,000 times.
Wow, that's
episode
amazing.
Episode number 40. And so thank you, Wausonians, for your love of our love of Wausau. It's one big Wausonian love fest. We'll be right back on the Wausau Business Show with the guys from Big Timber Entertainment.
Yeah.
New York, Paris, Los Angeles, Chicago, Tokyo, and Wausau. This is the Wausau Business Show with your hosts, Ryan and Paul.
For over 130 years, Ameriprise Financial has helped millions of Americans retire on their terms by providing advice for their unique goals. Stop in today at Strongbridge Wealth Advisors, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Advisors, LLC, and develop a customized plan for your retirement. Call Strongbridge Wealth at 715-849-3697. Office is located at 2711 Stewart Avenue, Wausau, Wisconsin. Visit us online at strongbw.com. Not FDIC or NCUA insured. No financial institution guarantee. May lose value. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Hello, my name is Maureen Carlson of Greenfire Management Services. Greenfire is a trusted local commercial construction manager. Greenfire provides detailed and innovative services so you can focus on growing your business. We're all about helping companies and communities thrive, so Greenfire is pleased to sponsor the Friend of a Friend competition to support the continual growth of Central Wisconsin. Contact us today to discuss your next construction project. Learn more at greenfire.com. That's greenfire.com.
This is the
Wausau Business Show.
The Wausau Business Show.
With Ryan and Paul.
Ryan Gallagher. And Paul Grinsell.
The Wausau Business Show.
What was I supposed to do? Standing there looking at you. Lone boy far from home. Maybe it was Memphis. Maybe it was Southern summer nights. Maybe it was you. Maybe it was me. But it sure felt right.
It's 100% action-packed Wausau every week on the Wausau Business Show. I'm Ryan.
And I'm Paul.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Troy Brown and Mark Olivares, managing partners from Big Timber Entertainment. Out of Wausau and Nashville. Welcome.
Thanks. It's nice to have a crowd here today.
Yeah, right. And Mark, you're in Nashville right now. What part of Nashville are you in?
I'm north of town, Hendersonville, about 20 minutes north of Nashville.
Awesome. I love Nashville.
You know, yeah, 40 degrees, 45 degrees right now, maybe 46.
Yeah,
it's a heat wave around here.
I used to live in Brentwood back when I was 19, and I loved Nashville back then, and my love has only grown stronger for it over the years. Were you born and raised there, Mark?
No, I wasn't. I'm from the UP. I'm a Uper, believe it or not. Crystal Falls, Michigan.
Yes.
Yeah, I went from playing in bands and put my band together in middle school, went down to Michigan State, got my degree in music there, played in a rock and roll band around Lower Michigan, and then moved to Nashville in 84.
Yeah. Oh, 84, you've lived in Nashville since.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That is very cool. So you are a, Mark is a Nashville-based music video producer, arranger, songwriter, keyboard player, and was Lori Morgan's music director. Also worked with Pam Tillis, Joe Diffie, God rest his soul, Sawyer Brown, Sammy Kershaw, Trick Pony, and a bunch others. Went on tour with a bunch of them too, right, Mark?
Yeah, I was on the road and in the studio, but on the road, mainly I was on the road for about 32 or 33 years with a major, you know,
wow,
as a keyboard player and a music director.
That is wild. Do you guys party like rock stars, or is it just it's country different?
We party like, you know, like we're at assisted living now. But no, I mean rock stars, yeah.
It's not like going out with Aerosmith.
As long as there's a Waffle House in the area, then we're good to go.
Okay. All right.
Fair enough.
And Troy Brown is the managing partner. How did you guys meet? Troy, you live in Wausau here, right?
Yeah, I live in Wausau. My daughter, Mia Brown, is a musician, and Mark and I were introduced by a fella named Dan Lance, who worked with Mark and Lori out on the road.
Okay.
Saying, hey, you should meet my friend Mark, and he does some production.
You met him
in
where?
Nashville. We actually, Dan and I met in UP.
Okay.
Called Mark up when I was down in Nashville. Mia was with me.
Yeah.
She did a little audition for Mark, and he said, let's roll.
Let's sign her.
Oh, never want
wasted. Think of all the love wasted.
And I never want to see you again. Because every time I see you, I remember how much time I wasted on you.
Yeah, that's great. And so, Mark, you then came over and you guys became friends and started Big Timber Entertainment. Is that how that worked?
Well, yeah, we hit, Troy and I hit it up. Of course, Mia is fantastic, you know. And so she and I started working on tracks and built at least 8 to 9 to 10 tracks, songs that we, over the next few years. And Troy and I just always from day one, days, hour zero, just hit it off I came up for a Packer game and with some of the other compadres, and it was just, I mean, we just always had a great time and a lot of energy around Troy and I and his friends. And so when Troy called me and said, let's do a label, and I thought I couldn't be with a better partner for this, with Troy's experience, his business experience, his humanity, his touch with people. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I brag about him. I mean, but it's true.
Yeah.
You know, his everything about him is just first class, and his family, his wife, Judy. Happy
What's
birthday,
up, Judy?
Judy.
Happy birthday.
Oh, happy
Judy.
Birthday.
All right, Jude. All right. She's 22 again.
She is.
So, Troy, what do you do for a living? What is your background that would lead you to start a record label?
Yeah, I'm the president, actually, of a lumber company, Kretz Lumber Company, over in Antigo.
Okay. Antigo. Yeah. Antigo.
Yeah.
Antigo.
Antigo. All right. Yeah, you can, either way.
All right.
We're 100% employee-owned, so I've been in the management position for, it's 30 years now.
Okay. So, you go from lumber to music.
Naturally.
Yeah. Well, both natural products. I'll give you that.
Fair. All right. Absolutely. And when we decided to name our record label, we were kicking some things around. We knew we wanted big in it.
Yeah. Okay.
And I was driving to work one day in the North Woods, and I said, how about Big Timber?
Okay.
And Mark said, that's it.
But here we go, boys.
Off and running.
Yeah, but what inspired you to? Is this something that you've always wanted to do? Is start a record label?
Yeah, I've been a music lover.
Okay.
My entire life.
Yeah, play guitar, right?
Yeah, I play guitar and very poorly. That's why I'm on the business side.
Okay. Welcome to the club. Yeah.
And like I said, just a music lover from my first memories. My mom was a music lover. So I grew up with all these 45s.
Cool.
And wanted to be a musician.
Nice.
I can't sing.
Yeah.
And I can't play guitar that well.
Okay.
So this was the next best thing. Was
the caveat into music.
You're right. Absolutely.
Yeah. So was meeting Mark the first opportunity that you had to kind of start a record label? Was that the genesis of it and the kind of spark?
Yeah. Meeting Mark, well, first of all, Mark said too many kind things about me.
Okay. You can take your turn now if you want.
And I wish I could be who Mark thinks I am. But anyway.
We're all living up to somebody else's reputation of us.
Right.
True.
Reciprocating is probably the most reputable person in Nashville.
Wow.
And everyone that I've talked to just says Mark is first class, and we hit it off, and it couldn't have worked out any better.
Yeah.
The reputation that Mark has. We walk into offices of some people that have done some things.
Yeah.
And they open the door because it's Mark Olivarius. And
well, Mark, you can't live in Nashville since 83 and not have that reputation. So that's phenomenal. I mean, you're obviously successful if you've been in Nashville working in the industry
for 40 years.
83. Yeah. That's a long time.
That's awesome.
I used to work on Music Row myself, Mark, just for a stint with a guy named Jerry House. You know Jerry?
Wow. Yeah. WSIX.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you know him as a songwriter at all?
I mean, yeah, I know Little Past Little Rock. Wasn't that one of his?
Yeah, he wrote a bunch of different songs for a bunch of, I think he made more money off of music writing than he did off of radio.
Performing.
But he was the one. Jerry was the king around this town, you know?
It was a real honor to
be in the same building. Ryan, the fact that you worked with him, that's big.
No. I did not work with him on Big 98 or whatever that they have down there on Music Row. I worked upstairs in a different radio station.
A little better if it was upstairs.
What station?
107.5, The River.
The River. So who are the two guys? Jim and
Woody.
Who are the two guys?
Yeah,
Jim and Woody.
When they started, that's when I was 19 working nights there. And
that's a great story. station. That was a great station.
Yeah, I loved Nashville and still do. But the point is that the money's in the music writing, is it not?
Well, it used to be.
Okay.
It used to be. It is in certain instances. It's not as the physical product with the demise of CDs. And the whole streaming, advent of streaming and everything. Troy, why don't you take it from there?
Troy, tell us where the money is.
Yeah. You're the business guy.
Right. Well, the real money, like Mark said, with streaming now, the real money is in performing, live performances. Yeah. You know, you bought tickets now, you know, lately to any shows that you go to. It can be quite expensive.
Yeah, Ryan went to every Taylor Swift show, actually.
All right, right.
Oh, God. But I'd like to go to one. I did go see Alan Parsons Project at the Ryman Auditorium. We were down there for business about 6 months ago, and that Alan Parsons show was good, so I was happy to give him money. But I've never been to a Taylor Swift show.
Just to set the record straight.
So, but you, in a way, Ryan, you're right. You do want the publishing rights, because there's two different copyrights to a song. There's the song, and then there's the recording of the song. But if you own the publishing rights as a songwriter, that's life plus 70 years that you get paid. So anyone can perform that song. So you do want publishing rights to a song. But yes, and anyone can perform it. You could have Mia Brown or Timothy James record that song.
Those are your two artists, to be clear.
Those are our two artists, to be clear. And you could have Taylor Swift and Luke Combs. And you're going to get paid no matter what, no matter who recorded that song.
Guaranteed to get paid off of that.
Yeah.
So let's talk about how you find your artists now. You've got Mia Brown. It's Mia, right?
Mia
Brown. And she's more of a pop-focused artist, right?
She does pop and country.
Okay, kind of crossover.
She crosses over. And that's kind of the Nashville influence with us being based in Nashville.
Yeah.
And then, Mark, why don't you introduce Timothy?
Timothy James, he's a tough kid. He's a tough young man. He first came by the studio a few years ago, and you know, he had a bit of a hard luck situation. He came out of rehab, but with his faith, his super strong faith, and his writing, though, again, guys, it's the writing. The great writers have got scars all over them.
Yeah, look at Jelly Roll, for God's sakes.
Yeah, I mean, not talking tattoos. Yeah. I'm talking about
emotional scars.
They've been through a grinder and seen the bottom at points. And I think that because of that, that just makes you a better artist.
Yeah.
And so Timothy is very strong. He's got we call it a 600 horsepower voice.
Gosh. It's all down here in the country. Drop a tailgate and then she's on me. Sliding on over in the pale moonlight. But look at baby on a starry night. Watching them boys drinking whiskey. Running red lights in the 6-speed. Ripping them tires down on Main Street. It's summertime in the country.
We've got some new tunes coming, some more, another cover, an Eddie Rabbit cover, and another original. A Love That'll Never Die.
Oh.
And it's edgy, and it's a little dark, but it's a great groove and a great story.
Yeah, we like it dark.
So,
edgy and dark. Yeah. I like that combo.
Let's go.
Yeah.
And Driving My Life Away is the
Eddie Rabbit song. Love Eddie that Rabbit song.
Cover,
that
and that's a banger.
So when you guys are out there, like, how are you promoting this music, and what is the goal for these two artists?
Yeah, well, the goal for these two artists, the way that we're positioned as a label, is to take them to one of the larger labels or one of the major labels.
Yeah.
There's only a few of them now,
right?
And continue on the management side.
Okay, so Universal Music starts knocking, and
Sony.
And
again, we'd stay on the management side of this and use their horsepower for the marketing of the recorded music.
Okay,
because recorded music right now, if you have a million streams, you end up with $3,000 on a million streams. If you're an independent artist and you do it all in a home studio, you pay $2,500 a song and you get a million streams, you've netted $3,000.
Wow, great. I broke even.
Interesting.
Yeah. Right, right. But you use that then to market yourself for the live performances.
So are all of these artists up and coming now? Like, I, it's not like it used to be, but it seems like all these artists are like have a following on YouTube before they get signed even. Is that the way it's working now? Or do you have to do it that direction? Or is it happening where, you know, the record label guy from Universal will be in the back of the Nashville bar and you'll be performing and he'll walk up to you and, you know, it'll be a magical day because he signed
find you? How does it work these days?
Yeah, Ryan, that it doesn't work that way anymore. Those guys, they don't go downtown in Nashville anymore.
No.
They look for numbers. They look for someone who can market themselves on social media.
Yeah.
They look for people like Mark and I that they can trust that will bring them an artist. We, incidentally, we haven't brought our artists to the labels yet. We don't want to.
Wow.
We're in the, we develop. And
that's
I guess
awesome.
I miss that with what we're doing.
Okay.
We want them to grind it out in this small clubs. We got Mia in the Wausau, Wisconsin, UP area.
Yeah.
We got Timothy down in Clarksville, Nashville area. And we want to make sure that we're bringing a product that the major label can market.
These labels want to know that their artists will work
hard, right? Absolutely.
And day in and day out. I mean, that's a grind to be on the road every day.
I've done it with Mark with our theme shows and just weekends.
Yeah.
You hit it exactly right.
Yeah, even if you're just doing it on the weekends, it's a lot of work.
Listen, a real grind.
Think about what Taylor Swift just accomplished. And, you know, Mia is your daughter. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I don't know how well known it is amongst non-Swifties, but Scott Swift, Taylor's father, was very instrumental in bringing her up. And do you use that as a model?
Well, I wouldn't say that I use that as a model, but Mark,
not specifically.
You probably have firsthand experience with Taylor and her background.
Yeah, you know, I was at Hendersonville. My daughter was, I was enrolling my daughter as a freshman, and Scott was in there. And
Scott Swift, Taylor's dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. He had a copy of Billboard magazine under his arm, and he said, "Yeah, my daughter Taylor, you got to see this." She had the back cover on it. She was writing with Liz Rose, who Liz I knew of. I mean, I was getting tunes from Liz, and as a producer, I was getting outside songs. I looked at the best writers in town, and I got songs from them so I could offer them to my artists, as well as co-writing.
Cool.
But anyway, so Scott, I met Scott there, and I then actually I had an act from Minnesota, that Scott Borchetta. Scott and I became friends from Big Machine.
Yeah.
Scott was on the verge of signing them. We went to dinner a few times, and then he signed Garth Brooks, of all people, and Trisha Yearwood. So I think it gotten a little in the way, but no, Taylor Swift, you can't argue with the genius. That's what Scott Borchetta said. She said, "Mark, she's got 50 songs sitting there that are hits."
Yeah,
that,
right.
You know, that just because she was playing them constantly to Scott. And you talk about hard work and that Big Machine. Borchetta stood up at his consoles. He had three computers. Now, this was in the 90s, you know. He had three computers. He had his headphones on. He was standing there. He just working the phones, looking at numbers, working the phones. That's all he did was 8 hours a day work the phones.
Yeah, because Taylor's 35 now, and you're going back, what, 20 years when you ran into him with the Billboard magazine under his arm?
2019, something like that.
Yeah, and then she signed with Big Machine.
Wow.
And that, what was the guy's name that she had the falling out with?
Borchetta.
Oh, okay.
You're talking about Scott?
Yeah. And she kind of got screwed there a little bit. So tell us about how that happens in music, if you could, one of you guys, how to protect the artist, because I'm sure that that's important for you, especially with Timothy James, to have artists that know that they can trust you. How does it go wrong?
I don't think she wanted her masters back. She, you know, the record label paid for the label paid for her production, and as she grew and grew and grew, they had control of those masters. That was part of the record deal.
Yeah.
She wanted them back. She wanted to buy them back. Scooter Braun from Atlanta came in and offered more money, and so Scott sold to the highest bidder on that. But then it didn't hurt her because she recuts
tracks,
and it's a whole new multi-million set of merchandise.
Yeah.
Why doesn't everyone just do that then when they feel betrayed by the record company, whatever the situation?
Well, they do. I mean, I don't think you can be betrayed by a label. Look where she ended up because of that work that Scott and his team did, and she did, you know.
Yeah.
But look at where she ended up. Look at because of that.
On top of the world.
Scooter Braun was the guy that I know she had the big falling out with, and that was the name that I was trying to reference before.
Okay. Yeah, I see.
The point is that the marketing and the model that you use, whether that be some combination of social media and then the phones and the analytics and vetting the artist, and then getting those artists to work. I mean, there's no real formula, I guess, right?
There's not.
There is.
There's no rules.
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah. Every man or woman for themselves a little bit here as you embark on Big Timber Entertainment. And how many years have you guys been doing this?
We've been in business now for a little over 2 years as Big Timber Entertainment. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. And how do you go about signing your acts and how do you vet them and what type of acts are you looking for? What types of artists?
Well, Mia was really easy. So
one fell into place. Yeah.
And it was actually even a little bigger contract that she signed it just in terms of the pages. But when we were signing Timothy, or before we were signing with him, he had someone else that was looking at him.
Okay.
And he trusted Mark, had worked with Mark, as Mark mentioned some of the things that he had gone through, and Mark helped him through them. And Mark said, Troy, if we put a contract out in front of Timothy, it wasn't going to work.
Wow.
And so who was competing with us actually wanted him for a publishing contract, and Timothy, working his hind end off like he does, was remodeling houses at the time. And Mark, if I remember right, he was remodeling this fella's house who works with Luke Combs.
Okay.
And
the name.
And
part of them.
So, and Timothy said, when you coming down, I'm going to sign it. So we went down. I drove when it was so cold last January here. It was in Nashville too. I drove on a Sunday morning, drove all the way. Mark and I watched Packers beat Dallas that day.
Nice. Yeah, go Pack.
Then we ended up getting 6 inches of snow in Nashville that night.
Oh, that shuts the whole state down.
They're not ready for that.
Not at all. Yeah. And so I had my pickup.
You were the only one that could get around?
I was the only one that could get around.
The only one in Nashville.
Yeah. Yeah, remember that, Mark, that fellow who was opening up that venue for us, he wasn't going to go out, and then we couldn't get him out of the truck. He was having so much fun in my pickup that night. But we went and did, we went out to Opryland, and we found a really nice venue. Timothy actually did a little performance there, and that night we signed it, and we've been working with him for a year now.
Just kind of forming him as an artist and getting him used to all the ins and outs of the industry and getting that kind of muscle really pumped up, right?
Yeah, that's Mark. And I think that was our dream, was at least having some muscle, as you just mentioned, Ryan, behind these artists, because for them to get noticed, they're one of a million that are out there now.
Yeah, doing it and standing out and getting attention in a sea is unbelievable. I mean, to make it happen is incredible, and everybody has that support. I mean, I bring up Taylor, but really, if it wasn't for her father supporting her and their parents, and you see that time and time again where somebody is investing in these artists behind the scenes. They're not usually doing it on their own exclusively.
Absolutely.
You know?
And helping them navigate a tricky industry, really.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You want to lean on guys like you and Mark to be able to help with that. And these are often young people, you know, who wouldn't know otherwise how to do that. So I think that's where you guys come into.
Yeah,
it's got to be a big part of it. Yeah.
Elder statespeople, let's call them.
Well, it is. And the most important, as Troy said before, the live show, and that's where the rubber hits the road. And so our focus has been get on stage, get 30 more shows on under your belt at these clubs. Timothy's working clubs down here. Mia's working solo act and duos and with the Get Down up there. It's just get in front of, just constantly get in front of people and hone that stagecraft.
Yeah.
Because that's where you got to bring those up people. You got to bring the audience into your living room, and you have to make those people become
family. Fervent.
Yeah. And supporters and lovers of the everything that's going on with that artist. That's how to build that fan base.
Yeah,
there's all the noise out there.
And then you grow that following, and eventually the tipping point hits. But it is phenomenal how some of these world-class artists these days build their audiences in a way that I don't remember artists back, you know, 20, 30 years ago doing it. You'll go to their show and they'll just be, it'll just be an emotional roller coaster hearing about all of their stories and their life and everything else to try to get the audience to connect to them, because I guess, you know, that's where they're making their money, and they want you to come back for 10 more shows.
Absolutely.
You know?
Right.
So now, what is the next step here for Mia and Timothy as you guys look into the vision and look at their future?
I think the key having Mia and Timothy is that, y'all, it is so tough to break out a female artist in the music world.
Yeah.
Lainey Wilson. Huge.
Yep, huge.
30 years old.
Yeah, she's been at it since she was 18, 19 years old.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's right.
And she ended up then with a duet with Hardy and ended up getting on Yellowstone and doing those things. And Lainey's huge now.
Yeah.
So having Timothy, what we're doing is we're booking music festivals out toward the later of 2025.
Okay.
And theater performances. And our strategy with Mia then, and having the two artists, Curtis is then have her perform some songs with Timothy.
Oh, yeah.
So, because she's the crossover artist. She's pop and country. So, we cut country songs on purpose for Mia. She was all pop.
Yeah.
She's got one. We're going to bring one out here probably in the next 6 weeks. It's called You Only Love Me When You're Drinking. And Mia actually tells her boyfriends, if you don't want songs written about you, then I'm not the right one.
Wow. But
another Taylor Swift trick.
Right. Someone's got to be the enemy, right?
Yeah.
Your songs have to tell a good story, too. They all can't just be good licks.
Yeah. She's actually, there aren't any about her current boyfriend. So I guess that's good for Tyler there.
I think that's a good sign, Troy.
Yeah, I think so, too. But yes, getting bigger and bigger performances now. And we are going to start meeting with some of the bigger labels, too, just to fill them in on what we're doing. We have a key contact with one of them right now. Just let them know what we're doing. And again, we're not going to take to them anyone that's not ready.
Right, right.
It destroys our credibility.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Waste their time.
And then so when an artist does get signed with you guys, you give them an advance and then you're exclusive with them for a certain period of time. Is that the way that that works?
Yeah. And what we do is we advance them basically production cost.
Okay.
So Mark produces the music along with more friends of his.
Okay. Well-connected guy.
Yeah. Garth Brooks, things in the background.
Yeah. Mark is the main producer on all the songs.
Cool.
And then we sub out to his friends mastering some of the musician work. We're working with a great guy right now. Mark is with Timothy, Dave Smith, worked with Lee Greenwood. I can't even remember all the people that Dave's worked with.
Proud to be an American.
Yeah, absolutely.
Toby Keith.
Oh, yeah. Toby Keith was the big one, yeah.
God rest his soul.
So just, again, the advance ends up being the production costs.
Okay.
And we don't charge them for marketing because we have some publishing rights and we also have some of the recording rights
that you hold on to,
that we hang on to
after the contract's over.
After
what's the typical length of a contract then?
We do 3 years with two 1 year options.
Yeah, two-year options on our end.
Yeah, on our end. Yeah.
Hey, Ryan.
Yeah, go ahead, Mark.
My buddy was playing guitar for Alan Parsons. Dan Tracy, by the way.
Coming back to that. Okay. I love Eye in the Sky, just for the record.
Oh, who doesn't? Who doesn't?
Yeah, that's great. Loved it. So how do we know if this is successful? When will we determine, Troy and Mark, when Big Timber Entertainment is successful? Are we successful now? What is the definition of success? Because this is a relatively new venture for you. So that's why I ask.
I think if we can launch careers for the two artists that we have right now, that's success. And that's what we want.
Within their contract period.
Within their contract period, if they can make a living doing what they love, and both of our artists love music, they love creating music. That's what is really makes them unique. If they can make a living doing that and we set them up to do that, I'd be good with that.
Read my mind, Troy. I mean, get our artists self-supported where they're launched.
Yeah.
Get them through this growth phase. That's the kill zone, you know, get them through the growth phase here where they go from clubs to small theaters. And we've done a bunch of small theaters now, you know, with them, and just get them into that next phase of just delivering for 90 minutes.
Yeah, for
taking
sure.
Taking that audience
on a journey
from high to low to heartbreak to ecstasy to all points in between, and you've got them. If you can emotionally get them, like you said, Brian, and if you emotionally get them, you've got them for life.
Yeah. Okay.
Sure.
So I didn't know if, you know, the goal was, hey, we want a number one record on Billboard charts in the next 2 years.
That'd be great.
That would work.
You'll take it down for you guys.
That's always
you
the
want
goal.
A number
that's
one Billboard charted record. Okay. That's the. Well, that is awesome. You know, we have always dreamt, Paul and I, of doing a country western song about Wausau, Wisconsin, here, our hometown.
That's right.
And it would be our dream to have it play on WDEZ in the A category in heavy rotation. We don't even need it to be on the Billboard charts. We just want it to play on WDEZ once.
Well, I'll tell you what. We'll have Mia and Timothy work on one because Mia's lived here. Timothy's been here. And we'll see what we can come up with.
You heard it here first.
Yeah. And if you guys want any part of the
background vocals,
let's do it. So,
is there a secret formula? I'll conclude with this, guys, but is there a secret formula? Because I've heard that like Dr. Dre had an algorithm that he runs all of his music through and his beats and things like that. And then I was reading an article on like, here is the formula to a successful
hit song.
How would you answer that?
Well, I mean, there's structural formulas, you know, intro, short intro, get into the verse, first verse by seven and a half seconds, under 10 seconds.
Got to get to that hook.
First Take chorus. Notes. Try to get to that chorus before about 40 to 45 seconds at first chorus, unless you're starting with the chorus, you know.
Okay, and I'm then, taking you know, notes.
First chorus.
We got to get to that hook.
Yeah, get to the hook. The hook. It's just got to be, melody's got to be great. Melodies have got to be great.
And what's your favorite country song of all time, Mark, living in Nashville and working in the industry since 83?
Man, oh man, that's a tough question. What is it?
I got a gun to your head. You got to tell me number one. What's your favorite?
I mean, I've got tons of them, but
you got to just pick one. Those are the rules. There's a gun involved.
Wow. That's a crazy thing to even, I don't know. I mean,
you have to. You're about to get shot. I gotta tell you,
my friend Robin, still her father was Buddy Killen, who was
ironically, his name was Killen.
Yeah. Well, Killen Time. Anyway,
don't make it too dark, Ryan.
Okay. Robin still has publishing on He Stopped Loving Her Today. That's a great song.
Maybe that's
George Jones, take your pick. I was with Gilly. That was my first gig playing piano for Mickey Gilly, and it was Stand By Me was the way he performed it, or, you know, there's so many stylists out there.
But you're not going with Johnny Cash. You're not going with Conway Twitty. You're not going with anybody, you know, like that. You're going deeper than that, is, I guess, my point.
Well, Cash is amazing. Cash was Twitty. We did a lot of shows with Twitty too, you know.
Okay.
He was fantastic live. I mean, there's too many.
How about
there's
we agree on Eye in the Sky by Alan Parsons?
That's it.
That's a great song.
Yeah. All right, put a steel in that thing and it's country.
Yeah, there you go.
Big Timber Entertainment. Here we go. Troy and Mark, thanks for stopping by the Wassa Business Show.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, fellas.
Yeah. Good stuff, guys.
I am the eye in the sky looking at you. I am the maker of rules, dealing with fools. I can cheat you blind, and I don't need to see anymore to know that I can read your mind.
Get in touch. Email info@wassabusiness.com or call 715-9-WASSA. We'll check the messages on our answering machine soon.
Experience the 3rd Street Lifestyle Center in downtown Wausau with great restaurants, Char Grill House, Lemongrass, Chow, Jalapenos, great pizza at Polito's, subs at Jimmy John's, food and drinks at the Pinery Coffee Shop, unwind at the Chocolate Cafe, stop by Forward Beverage, massages at the Reflexology Center, shop at Magnolia Soap and Bath, Isaac's Fine Apparel, Tanya's Bridal, get a trim at Modern Gents, find something classy at Campbell Haynes, plan your special event at the Jefferson Street Inn. Experience the 3rd Street Lifestyle Center, downtown Wausau.
I've been to Louisville, Nashville, Knoxville, Omaha, Bacchusville, Jacksonville, Waterville, Costa Rica, Pittsfield, Springfield, Bakersfield, Shreveport, Hackensack, Cadillac, Fond du Lac, Davenport, Idaho, Jellicoe, Argentina, Diamantina, Pasadena, Catalina, see what I mean. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the desert, it's bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I've traveled, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere.
This is the Wausau Business Show, and right now we have Brett Westgrove in the studio with us.
Let's go.
All right. Hi, Brett.
Hey, Brett.
All right.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Welcome, Brett.
Thank you.
And Brett, you're just up from Nashville for a little bit. Are you living in the area now?
No, I'm just up from Nashville. You know, family's still just out in Rib Mountain where I grew up.
Okay,
and
cool.
So I usually, especially because the music industry sleeps, hibernates, I should say, during this time of year, I come up, play a bunch of acoustic shows. I get to come up without the band and then spend a lot of family time and, of course, Christmas and all that. So
she said you weren't going to be in town until April. I'm like, there's not a chance that he's up for the holidays now, is there? Yeah, he happens to be. Well, we're doing a Nashville special. Big Timber Entertainment is here.
It's all about timing.
And man, I'll tell you, I'm a big believer in timing.
Yeah.
And things happen how they're supposed to.
Yeah.
I'm a big believer in like not changing the past because it led you somewhere for a reason. And so this is another one of those examples. When she told me about this, I was like, this is amazing.
It's totally.
Meant to be.
And it happens to be our Nashville show this week.
Yeah, it's like amazing. That. But let me just go into your street cred here a second. Brett. So you've performed at Hodeg multiple times.
This will be the seventh year this summer.
Wow.
You're a Wausau West grad. Go Warriors. Right.
So are we.
Yeah. You have been living in Nashville for a while. You have toured with, listen to this, Tyler Hubbard, Russell Dickerson, Heartthrob, Eli Young, Priscilla Block, Neil McCoy, God love him. He's a big Hodeg guy.
Yeah, we get to see him every year.
Yeah. Cool. Josh Turner and Travis Tritt.
Wow. Great day to be alive.
That's right.
Yeah. And you're also a, I'm going to go, this is unbelievable, but you're also a rocket scientist.
Yep.
Do you happen to know Grace Stanky?
I don't think so.
Miss America. She's a nuclear physicist. I thought maybe you smarty pants.
All hang together.
But Brett, tell us a little bit more about like what's going on in your life, because you have this new sugar honey iced tea, which is a southern iced tea that you're selling in Wisconsin. It's a sweet spiked iced tea, which the branding on this looks phenomenal. I'm looking at your tour bus, which the sugar honey iced tea is on tour with you.
That's right.
And this is an official like rock star decked out tour bus, which is awesome. And tell us a little bit about what's been going on in your life. I mean, it's interesting that we had Big Timber Entertainment in here, and they're a label based in Nashville and Wausau, but you are not with Big Timber Entertainment, but you are a country music, up-and-coming country music star. I'm going to call you a star.
Yeah, I think that's appropriate. Let's go.
My favorite song of yours is Shitty F-150, by the way, just for the record.
I didn't care because it bought us freedom, running wild under stars. Moonlight, windows down, got that V8 screaming. First time past the city limit sign. Yeah, I could go anywhere and take on the world, girl, if you're with me. Behind the dashboard of that F-150.
Yeah, that's a fun one.
I also liked Somewhere Town.
We're in four ports, I'm telling mama's house. Hanging at the lake, I'm sneaking out. Bullet holes in the highway sign. Down by the quarry at the county line. Cruising the strip, just one more round. Picking up the girls and making out. Counting stars from a rundown dock. Tailgates dropping at the old Creek style. You may think it's just a piece of nowhere crowd. But to me, it's a somewhere town.
And a number of other ones. But yeah, what's the goal here?
Yeah, you know, we're just releasing music and trying to function as much as we can like a major label without signing to a major label, which, you know, I'm not opposed to. But we have for a while, but we live in a time where it's easy to gather an audience, you know, online, social media. You can tour. And, you know, one of the hardest pieces, but, you know, you can always work on it, is finding investing, finding funding.
Mm-hmm.
And so our goal right now is just to keep putting these pieces together. Tour more. We're bringing Sugar Honey Iced Tea in to build an entire event. In the next couple of years, we want to be doing our own festivals branded as such.
Wow, cool.
So it's a whole experience.
Yeah, I mean, it's great non-traditional branding and marketing with it all. Chance the Rapper just was the first, I think, Grammy Award winning artist that never had a label, Chance the Rapper. And so it's like artists without labels. However, I think Big Timber Entertainment seems like pretty good label from what I could tell. But what's interesting about your life is you're from Wausau, Wisconsin, USA.
Yep.
And you had a dream of first becoming a rocket scientist. And I'm not bullshitting here. The guy is a rocket scientist. Where'd you go to undergrad and graduate school?
Boulder, Colorado.
Okay.
Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Paul. He's off his game.
I'm off my game today.
I'm off my game every day. The Buffs. Yeah. The Buffs. Yeah, go Buffs.
Yeah. But yeah, you had a dream of becoming a rocket scientist?
Yeah. Well, it actually was always music.
Okay.
My mom likes to tell people I came out singing.
Okay.
So I did that all my life, kind of, you know, a lot. But yeah, I was also always into cars and liked airplanes and things that burn and go boom. And so I was actually out in California for a while running a recording studio out there. And I just kind of hated that scene and I didn't know what my next move was. And my oldest brother had just moved to Boulder. So I went and visited and I saw the campus. And I heard that they had this great program. And I'm like, well, like engineering, I guess. So I moved there, got into the school, decided I was going to apply to like the hardest engineering program, you know, the hardest program they had for some reason.
Naturally.
Yeah. Right, right. Aerospace. And it just kind of snowballed from there. I landed the job. It was concurrent with my undergrad, which was also concurrent with my graduate degree.
Oh,
so
wow.
I had this going and then like the NASA spacecraft job going.
Yeah, then you wind up working at NASA.
It was wild.
What kind of spacecraft? When it's a NASA spacecraft, is that a UAP or?
So space.
Unidentified aerial phenomena.
Sorry, science-based satellites.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Uh-oh.
So some Earth orbiting, some like Helios, you know, sun orbiting the sun. So
okay, you
like,
lost me at Helios.
The one you may have heard of was the Kepler Space Telescope, was a big deal.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So looking for other Earth-like planets.
Yeah, the Goldilocks zone, baby.
Yeah, I probably flew maybe four or five different missions.
Out of Southern Cal?
You know, I mean,
like, did you launch?
No, this was out at Boulder.
Okay.
So actually, a lot of people don't realize, but we weren't military, but like a huge portion of our military and GPS is all operated out of various parts of Colorado.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
So yeah, here I am, this
top secret.
China might be listening. Here I am, this undergrad student flying like $1 billion spacecraft in between like huge course load.
Mm. Yeah.
And you know, like I said, going to the gym every day. Like,
yeah, going to the gym. Speaking of which, you had to bring up your six pack, didn't you?
Well, it sounds like you just brought it up, actually.
Oh, was it me that brought that up?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, we weren't recording yet, I thought.
Someone's been looking at the photos a little.
He's hot, ladies. He's hot. Brett Westgrove. You got to go to brettwestgrove.com and you can see what I'm talking about. There's a nice shot there, let me tell you. But anyway, yeah, okay.
Yeah, so
went to the gym.
It was just a wild ride. You know, I started with the program, and then I suddenly had the job, and then I got up into the startup scene, and because I was also studying through Lockheed Martin program, this high-tech entrepreneurship.
Were you 4.0 from Wow. Wausau West, like Paul Grinzel?
Oh, no.
No?
No.
Neither was I, for the record.
You know, I think I was until high school.
Okay.
And then it just all went out the window.
Yeah, yeah. You got into music.
I got into music. Yeah. I was in every choir that existed,
yeah.
Pop concert, all of those
sure.
things.
Sure. Phil Book?
Book, yeah.
Phil Book, love Rico. Them. Love them.
Yeah. And, Rico Jaeger, yeah.
Yeah.
Love those guys. Okay. Mm-hmm. So then you graduate, you do all this. And I just want to get back to that satellite for a second. Did SpaceX launch that thing into space? Or were you using an existing satellite that was in there to do your research for NASA?
Gosh, these were all like just NASA launched, NASA funded.
Mm-hmm. And then you kind of got to use them?
So what happens is, you know, everything is bid on, whether it's the launch portion or the operating portion or the development, you know. So a lot of the missions were developed in-house where we were, and then they would be launched, you know, through NASA or whatever, they'd get the rocket. And mm-hmm. I did do a lot with that portion, which I wish I would have.
What a cool opportunity.
Yeah, but stressful and, you know, a lot of... spacecraft, they don't work on our schedule.
Yeah, you got to be going 24/7, right?
Yeah, I mean, you'll be up at like 3, 4, 5 in the morning. Yeah.
So then you kind of get bored with that, or what happened?
I don't know if bored was the word, but I remember this day very clearly. I was sitting at my desk. It was like in between spacecraft contacts. And I think I was like writing code for analyzing some of the data, right? Mm. It was cool, right?
Yeah.
But like very stressful. And I am a big believer that science and, you know, space science especially does good things.
Yeah, we got to be exploring.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people right now, maybe it's changing, but a lot of people seem to have this idea of like, well, we don't have money to fix this, so we shouldn't be putting money into space. But like they don't understand how much of our world operates on what's flying around up there.
Or
but
how much of our world was created because of
inventions that came
from that.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's a bit of a digression, but I was sitting there and I was like, this is cool and I'm having an impact in my way, but I realized that I'm just like this performer, I'm ham. I want to see the impact I'm having.
By cheering fans.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I need immediate results.
Yeah. So I just had this moment where I'm just like, this is not it. It was like 2 weeks before graduation for my master's, and I was like, I don't think I'm, after this is over, I think I'm done.
Yeah.
And I think it was like 6 months later, I was moving to Nashville, sold all my stuff, packed up the car. And
then you pull into Broadway, or where do you set up shop in Nashville?
Because
you were living out of your car, if I'm not mistaken.
I was in a Walmart parking lot.
Okay.
But yeah, you mentioned Broadway.
Yeah.
And I pulled into town. One of the first things I did was drove downtown. And
Broadway's like Main Street in Nashville.
Live music everywhere.
Yeah, Lower Broadway. I mean, it's like every other door. There's hundreds of stages, and I just walked around, and I was immediately like, oh my god, what have I gotten myself into?
Oh, okay.
Overwhelmed.
Like, so much talent.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of talent.
Yeah,
and so it's very overwhelming and intimidating.
Yeah,
bad.
But you just dig in, right?
I'm friends with a person who was considered a very accomplished electric guitarist, and after graduating from high school, he moved to Nashville, and he's like,
everybody's this good down here and better.
Well, the musicians especially. I mean, not just the artists and singers, like the musicians.
Yeah. It attracts the best of the best. And that's just not singers and performers. You're right.
Yeah. So how do you...
Writers, everything.
Yeah.
Business
people. Whole industry.
Agents, lawyers, accountants. So then you get on, you know, kind of get out, you work your way into the scene and in Music Row and start performing. How did you get out of your car? Because you were living in your car, you show up in a parking lot from Walmart, and how do you build your way out of your car into like an apartment?
I just started picking up gigs.
Yeah.
And the cool thing about Nashville, which is like a dramatic contrast to like the LA scene,
okay,
people are so willing to help you.
Yeah.
Like even if you're, you know, quote unquote competition for them, they'll still like do whatever they can.
They don't call it Southern hospitality for nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
So I just started showing up and walking around and watching gigs and returning. And eventually I would get an opportunity. Actually, one of my biggest opportunities came because I was hanging out and the band was a no-show.
Okay.
And I said, well, I'm here. I got my guitar in the car.
Yeah.
You guys, and they're like, yeah, go for it.
Somebody once said, I can't remember who, the first half of success is showing up.
Yeah.
Something like that. And it's true in your case. And wow. So, I mean, how did it translate into touring with Russell Dickerson and Travis Tritt and Neil McCoy and all these famous people?
Yeah. A lot of it was the exact same thing. Just keep showing up.
Yeah.
Meeting people. And even if it was unintentional networking, because a lot of it's just like being buds and making friends, opportunities just, you know.
And once you're there for a while, does it kind of feel like, hey, Nashville's kind of a small town. I kind of know a lot of people here.
Yeah. Very much so.
Who are you planning on going on tour with next?
Well, I wish I knew.
Okay. Is the Sugar Honey Iced Tea, because it's also one of your songs, which is cool.
Yep.
Is the Sugar Iced Tea, Sweet Tea kind of brand, product, and platform, is that a platform for your music career, or is your music career a platform for the Sweet Tea brand?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it's so like synergistic.
This synergy,
you know?
Is insane. So this actually came about because I did this big after party after a Josh Turner show down in Tennessee. And through this wild, just acoustic party, and all, you know, all the people came after his shows, and they were, it was at a big brewery. So everyone was drinking beer and having a good time.
Yeah.
And the owner and the investor of that entire facility were there, and we were all partying, and they brought up the song Sugar Honey Iced Tea. And I, like, you know, I had thought of it before. So half jokingly, I was like, you know, it needs to be a drink.
Yeah.
And immediately, boom,
they like, latched onto it.
We can do that for you.
Cool.
And so that's where it started. And then the guy who actually got me booked for that gig is now my business partner down in Tennessee, and he helped develop the first flavor profile for it. And
cool.
He's actually coming up to Wisconsin in a few days to do our final tasting at our new facility up here.
And where's the facility?
Sheboygan.
Okay. And where? And when can we get in Wausau? Anytime soon?
Yeah. I mean, we should be going into cans if all things go smoothly within next couple months.
And then you got to get a distributor. Is that how that works?
Yep. We got meetings with a bunch of distributors coming up next week.
Well, I would think that being from Wausau, you get a distributor right away with your Nashville connection, your music career, great branding.
Yeah, it's
let's get this at the Milk Merchant. Come on.
This is going to blow up.
Yeah. I mean, I've got a huge list of bars in this area and all around Wisconsin who are already ready to stock it. We've got events
like
bag that we've been taking it to. And
does the back of the can have your set list on it, or your songs, or your QR code to your Spotify or anything like that?
QR code.
To your Spotify?
Yeah. Yep.
That's awesome. Okay, Brett, well, will you keep in touch? And do you got any interest in meeting the guys from Big Timber Entertainment?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
We'll make that connection.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, we'll do that.
We'll make the connection and we'll see where it goes. This will be a great storyline in the Wausau Business Show. What
Can't
do you
wait.
Miss most about Wausau, by the way?
Oh, people, especially my family. But you mentioned Southern hospitality, and it's it goes even deeper up here.
Yeah.
And so I find myself missing it when I'm down there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely the people and just the vibe up here. You know, it's beautiful, people are great, everything.
Are you doing any gigs before you go back, or
No, I had all of my shows that we planned before Christmas.
Okay.
But I think we're coming back up to do a bunch of stuff in late April.
Where?
We'll probably be two or three in the Wausau area, and then probably a couple down near La Crosse.
Well, keep us updated.
Yeah, yeah. Website will be updated. Yeah. I'll be posting to social media. My Facebook page is a good place for info too. So,
all right. Cool. And we'll get you connected with the guys from Big Timber Entertainment. They're great. He's down there. He's got a recording studio and everything down there. So, he's very well connected. He's lived in Nashville since 83, he said.
Oh, wow.
So,
yeah. Yeah, he's been there forever.
Yeah, he used to tour with a bunch of people too. So we look forward to following your career as it continues. Brett Westgrove, everybody.
Thanks, Brett.
In my next 30 years, I'm gonna have some fun. Try to forget about all the crazy things I've done.
Maybe now I've conquered all my adolescent fears, and I'll do it better in my next 30 years. My next 30 years, I'm gonna settle all the scores. Cry a little less, laugh a little more. Find a world of happiness without the hate and fear. Figure out just what I'm doing here in my next 30 years.
Hey, Paul.
Yeah, yeah.
Sugar, honey, iced tea. Get the acronym, sugar. No, it's sugar, honey,
okay.
Iced tea.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
I got the acronym.
Jy luister na die WOSA besigheidsprogram.
Nee, tenk aan WOSA, sang je tiks
mal. Stai ascoltando lo spettacolo commerciale di WOSA.
Vous écoutez l'émission commerciale de WOSA.
WOSA, lukong cheng, shaitza, bejo la lo.
Słuchasz programu biznesowego WOSA.
Este es el espectáculo de negocios de WOSA.
WOSA Business Show, kiki itadaite imasu.
저는 라이언과 폴이 진행하는 WOSA Business Show를 듣고 있어요.
Je luistert naar de WOSA Business Show.
Sie hören die WOSA.
मैं रायन और पॉल के साथ वाउसाओ बिजनेस शो सुन रहा हूँ.
Business Show. At Incredible Bank, we want to recognize two local organizations for making a difference in our community. Bridge Street Mission in Wausau actively supports those experiencing homelessness and hunger by providing a warm location, food, fellowship, help, and encouragement. In Weston, the Greenhead Community Center offers many activities that provide valuable social and recreational opportunities for community members. We are proud to play our part in supporting you. Thank you for being incredible.
Wausau. Wausau. Wausau.
10, 10, 20, now 30, now 40, now what's 40, and we're to give it a 40, now 50, now Ryan and Paul, now we're to give it a 50, now 60, now 70, now we're to give it an 80, 98.9. So, what's up, Business Show?
Well, the auctioneer was going about a mile a minute. He was taking beats and calling them out loud. And I guess I was really getting in it, cause I just shouted out above the crowd. And I said, hey, pretty lady, won't you give me a sign? I'd give anything to make your mind online. I'll do your fiddling beat, you beck and call. Yeah, I've never seen anyone looking so fine. Man, I gotta have her, she's a one of a kind. I'm going once, going twice, I'm sold. I'm a lady in a long black dress, but she won my heart. It was no contest, with a ruby red lips, blonde hair, blue eyes. Well, I'm about to bid my heart goodbye.
We are listening to the Wausau Business Show. And so are you. I'm Ryan.
And I'm Paul.
And thank you for listening. Episode number 40. Pretty good Nashville Wausau connection episode, I think, Paul.
I'm not sure if the people knew we had any connection to Nashville, let alone several connections.
Very cool. And I'm sure there's some that we missed, of course.
Yeah.
Info@wausaubusiness.com if you know any cool connections to Nashville or any other city.
Let us know.
Yeah. But before we leave,
yeah,
I think it would be appropriate for this episode to maybe be inspired by what we've heard here today.
Okay. That would be apropos.
Maybe a little Wausau Business Show country song about Wausau, as is our dream, to sing a country song about Wausau, Wisconsin, USA.
Should we just wing it and do it? We dedicate this one to you, Music Row in Nashville.
We dedicate this one to all you great country music loving fans in Wausau, Wisconsin, USA.
Yes, let's give it a wing.
Let's see what we do.
I'm willing to try. Warm up. Phil Book style.
Me, 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 me.
Me, 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 me. Open pit barbecue sauce. Oh boy.
Here we go.
We got Rare Mountain.
We got Grand Theater.
We got Bob and Randy's.
What's the B&R?
We got all our friends from near and far.
That's here from
Wausau.
You're don't you know?
You're from Wausau.
You're from Wausau.
You're from Wausau.
That's the worst. We're sorry. We apologize.
An immediate apology.
Sorry.
We'd retract it if we could, but we're on the air.
Maybe the FCC could pull that part of your reality, of your life.
Instant regret followed by an instant apology.
I feel a sense of shame.
Shame. Well, we put ourselves out there.
We really did. I mean, it was our dream. It got crushed. We crushed our own dream.
And it took about 30 seconds to figure it out.
Whoa.
Beautiful. Nailed it.
We are not going to get signed to Big Timber Entertainment.
You don't think that's going to be a hit? It's a start to a hit.
That will not be in heavy rotation in the A category at WDEZ.
You can't say we don't try here on the Wausau Business Show.
Fail forward, as we like to say, as Marcus Nelson proved.
Yeah, we even sing country songs, which we're unqualified to do.
We're barely qualified to host a television show.
Which is why we're on the radio.
Who's coming up on episode number 41? This is going to be kind of a special, cool show, episode number 41. Not that this wasn't here.
Yeah. No, this one's going to be a TikTok-inspired episode.
Everybody loves TikTok.
We're going to bring...
I don't know.
I don't know if everyone does.
I don't know.
China does, I think. But
China.
We're bringing in Mike Hahn, the CEO of Tittle.
Michael Hahn. He started Tittle when he was 17. Be careful how you pronounce that. It's T-I-D-D-L-E, FCC.
Tittle.
He manages influencers. Now, on Tittle.io, he manages a group of social media influencers that have 10 billion impressions, and he's from right here in the Wausau, Wisconsin area. Merton City, actually.
To be precise, correct.
And that's coming up next week on the Wausau Business Show.
Can't wait.
Friend of a Friend competition is up and online, ready for you to register for $10,000 at wausaubusiness.com. And thanks to our sponsors, Greenfire and Strongbridge Wealth Advisors. And until next week, from high atop Rib Mountain, I'm Ryan.
And I'm Paul.
And this has been a Wausau Business Show transmission. Love you, Conway Twitty. The end!
I was born country, and that's what I'll always be. Like the rivers and the woodlands, wild and free. I got 100 years of down home.
This has been a Wausau Business Show transmission. All rights reserved 2025.
At Rooter Ware, we challenge the notion that sophisticated legal practices only exist in major metropolitan areas. Our team chooses to live and work in communities where many people only vacation or pass through. We enjoy a quality of life and have an excellent work-life balance, while still practicing exciting, challenging law in Wausau, Eau Claire, Green Bay, and Wisconsin Rapids. Since 1920, we've been doing what we want and where we want to do it. Find us at rooterware.com.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.